to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and a couple things that some of you may be interested in knowing. One is, you know, I've been struggling on an issue, and then I was going to do, I figured I'd take one day. It took a week, and I finally got it working today. But one of the issues that I thought was very relevant, especially when you consider, theology and whatnot, or the issues at hand, is what I did is I tried to do something, it didn't work, so I made a change to make it a little more clear. What the program was doing, and it helped, but it wasn't enough. So I actually kind of ripped it apart and did it again in order to make it extremely clear. And then there were a few more steps to make some additional refinements on that. And what happened is finally that clarity of what was happening was kind of like, well, that's what you're missing, you know, dumb. And so I found my issue. And so that was resolved, and it took a long time, but what I have now in place is the way it logs and starts up. It's very clear, because again, communicating clearly is vital. When you communicate by giving just an impression, not the reality, that's marketing, or lying, or politics. It's not speaking parousia. Maybe you've heard this talked about before. I did send a postcard. I did the two to Zadok, and I was thinking, well, I'll do some more to my family. But I realized this morning, no, the one I went to today went to the pastor at Meadowview, George Sayor. And again, I'm not sure if I pronounced his name right. But because in the conversation yesterday, when I talked about a pastor that may say something that isn't true, simply isn't true from Scripture, I pointed out that there could be a problem there, and what would it be like for him to say, I see from the Scripture that what I proclaimed is wrong. The cost could be extremely high. And the example I gave was not just arbitrary. It was him. So I send the postcard. Will it be ignored? Well, virtually everything else has been so far. So my guess it will be. But it's there. So, and obviously, I will not deny the fact that it's what I proclaim. I'm willing to engage people on this. I'm willing to be corrected where I'm wrong. Silence is not correction. I've pointed that out more than once too. But two other things. One is you'll find I'll have links on the page. It's already there for today. A video that I saw today was an interview with a man in Donetsk. Because you may or may not be aware that in Donetsk and Donbass, Lugansk, Donetsk and Lugansk, which is the Donbass region of Ukraine, there is a referendum it's like 5 days of voting, because they were, you know, concerned for a lot of things, but to allow the people to vote, do you want to join Russia? Because remember, the Donbass region, Donetsk and Lugansk, the people there decided to separate themselves from Ukraine, become independent countries. Russia recognized them, Syria recognized them, and a few others recognized them as independent countries. And of course, why would they do that? Well, because for the past 8, and I guess it's now 9 years, the rest of the country of Ukraine was bombing them, literally bombing them. Because, you know, again, Ukraine outlawed things like the Russian language and things of that nature. It made it uncomfortable for these people because these people were mostly Russian, culturally Russian. They spoke the Russian language and so forth. And I continued, think about what it would be like if the U.S. outlawed Spanish. That's the kind of system, that's what happened there. If we did that here in the U.S., there would be more than a little backlash. Rightfully so, because if you are someone of, you know, Mexican, Central American, and your native language is Spanish, for the U.S. government to outlaw it is less than kind. It's very inappropriate. But so this is what happened to Ukraine. And then, of course, there's the Nazi issue and so forth. But so the war has been going on. The people for, like I say, now it's 9 years, apparently. The people there have been dying in large numbers. Something like 14,000 were dead before the events of February started. And, you know, it's Ukrainian government against the Ukrainian people at the time. But they've separated, so now they're independent, and they're doing the vote. And, you know, the interesting thing is already people in the West say, oh, we won't recognize him. So it's this is the norm. The West, and this is common other places, but obviously the dominant thing is of the last many years, has been the West. We would look at another country and say, oh, you've had an election, we don't recognize it unless we agree with what the outcome. We've done that, like Venezuela, it would be a good example. There were several other places in Central South America. We said, oh, we didn't like the outcome, so we're gonna say that was fraud. So we decide whether or not it was fair. Same thing is true, you know, effectively, same thing is true with what happened with Syria. We've decided, okay, it's Bashar al-Assad won, therefore we're going to call him a dictator and not recognize the election. So we decide. And of course, we in our news media and whatnot. So we've already pre-done that now with the Donbass region. So more than likely, I would suggest we'll probably find out in the coming days. It was not a minor victory. It probably will be an overwhelming, yes, we want to become part of Russia. And that's, I would suggest, likely. Simply because, I think it's likely. But there's obviously a lot of, again, it's interesting to watch. You know, obviously, you will look at something, a report from RT, and you say, well, okay, they're biased because they're Russian. And you look at somebody that's, you know, from a different country, most likely is Al Jazeera. I think they have the greatest presence there. And you say, well, okay, they're independent, so maybe they're not biased. They are so ridiculously biased. It's just amazing to watch. You know, the raw image of what's said, and see how they will report on things and they'll miss certain parts of what is said. So what the message they convey would be using honest words, but what is conveyed, the connotation, is complete fraud. It's amazing. It's a science. The science of deception. But there are numerous independent reporters. And of course, they're independent reporters supporting both sides. But there's those that, you know, again, there's a whole bunch of people who are, the shills. But anyway, but there was one report that I saw. And again, I'll have give you not only a link to the original video, but a copy of the video is now at Kozlowski.org. It's, I don't remember how many minutes, just a few minutes, interview with a couple people about the upcoming election. The interviewer was a person who took that photo, Eva Bartlett. And what I found so remarkable is the first person she interviewed was a guy. And, you know, you hear about Christianity within Ukraine. And, you know, I've seen guys in their ornate, you know, Orthodox kind of garb, and standing next to him are people with Nazi insignias. It's kind of like, but anyway, this guy obviously was speaking Russian, I assume Russian, but his words. And Eva Bartlett's not Christian. She has last time I heard, she was not did not claim that. But I have two stills with the English on there. The first one says, why? Because we are first and foremost Christians. I believe that our culture, our nation, is first and foremost Christianity. So it has a foundation that speaks for victory over fear. Think about what he said. It's not that we're a Christian country and rah-rah, we're a Christian country, but our culture, our nation is first and foremost Christianity. In other words, he's not Ukrainian. He's not Russian. He's Christian. And the wording of that I found just phenomenal. Because so many of the other things I said, what I hear from people, including in Ukraine, both Russian and Ukrainian, is it's our denomination kind of idea. This guy was claiming Christ, but he goes further. So how the bombing affects us? Of course, negative. But thanks to the fact there are strong people who believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, it is thanks to this that we overcome this fear, and I think we will reach the end. Think about what he said. It's not that we believe in God. Isn't God a nice fellow? We believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ. He's not generic. He's specific. I really think this man's my brother. And this is, we overcome this fear. You know, I've talked about do not fear what is frightening and whatnot. He said it. He said it. And I think that'll reach the end. I don't think he was talking about victory over the Ukrainian government, victory over the Nazis. I think he's saying we will endure to the end, as Christ command. I think this man is not talking politics. He's talking obedience to Christ. I highly recommend it. I was really impressed with that. But one last thing, because, you know, I have to... one of the things we've been talking in our dialogues, Chris and myself, because there's this constant struggle of what is obedience to Christ, what is our relationship, and how to grow closer. It's something I want to encourage others on, especially my own kids, or have you heard this one before? But one of the things we got onto is the idea of reprove or rebuke, which is something we've discussed before. But because it is an act of love, as I mentioned, you know, you should love your neighbors yourself. Leviticus 19:18, the verse before, one of the ways to do that is to rebuke. And again, the idea about rebuke, it's not, I'm going to tell you in my arrogance, I'm right, you're wrong. Not at all. And there are so many things I've been on, but just, we dwell on a lot of things, but one verse in particular. Proverbs 9:8. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Well, and then the next, give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. And of course, you know, well, very important. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. But the objective was, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. And, or the opposite, which is reprove a wise man and he will love you. And one of the things discussed is what it would be the difference between a scoffer and a wise man. You know, because wise man, how is he described? In the first part of it, you know, the verse, wisdom has built her house, she has hewn her seven pillars, she has slaughtered her beasts, she has mixed her wine, she has also set her table, she has set out her young women to call from the highest places to the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, Eat of my bread and drink of my wine, the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live. Walk in the way of insight. This is wisdom calling out. You know, you'll see this several times in Proverbs, where wisdom has a feminine connotation. And wisdom is calling. And, you know, to leave our simple ways. And I'm not sure, I haven't checked, but I will right now. I was going to go on. I'll stop the tangents. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. So is the scoffer just simply someone who is arrogant? And is the wise man simply somebody who has brilliance? I don't think so. I think if you look at it, and I think this would be consistent with Scripture, the scoffer is the non-elect, the world. Well, the worldly. The non-elect. The wise man is the elect. And it's not that you are wise because you have brilliance, but because you have that gift of God who has drawn you. I think this is probably correct. Because if I am not part of the elect and you rebuke me in my arrogance, in my pride, my God is me, or you know, whatever. No, I'm gonna mock you. I'm gonna abuse you. The terms here. Do not reprove a scorner, lest he hates you. Give reproof to the wise, and he loves you. That's the LSV version. So if I am somebody who wants to reject God, I'm not part of the, you know, I'm not part of the elect. When you give me a rebuke, I'm just going to respond by saying, I hate you. You know, don't give me that nonsense from the Bible. You're stupid. That's what I would do if I was part of the non-elect. If I'm part of the elect, give reproof to the wise, and he loves you. If I'm part of the elect, and you reprove me, you rebuke me, you tell me, hey, you're going wrong here. Oh, thank you. I was either blind to it or I was weak on it and you've encouraged me. Thank you. And he loves you because what you did to me by since I'm part of the elect, my objective, because Christ has drawn me, I have a love for my Creator. And if you show me where I'm offending my Creator by a disobedience to him, and now I've lowered yet another part of the barrier between him and me because I've been turning away from him in whatever way, and you helped me lower one of those barriers, thank you. That was an act of love to me, and I'm going to respond as an act of love towards you because you did something very wonderful for me. I suggest, you know, maybe you can refine this idea a little bit, but consider them. Because one of the things I'm finding so often, you know, we have a club, and our club is Christian. So if your club thinks different, that's your club. Our club thinks the way we do, so go away. I think you're the scorner. Scoffer. Because it's not my club, it's not my denomination, it's not my collective. Do you belong to the Lord? That's really, really a big deal. Again, use the man that I mentioned. You know, I don't know his name. It would be nice. I don't think that his name was mentioned during the interview. But when I look at this guy, you know, I don't see someone who's in my club. I see someone who is speaking like my brother. He's not speaking the same language as I am. He's not culturally doing the same thing. There's probably a lot of sin in his life. Don't tell anybody, there's a lot of sin still in my life. But I don't know. Maybe I'd have a wonderful relationship with a guy like this. You know, it's just because we share the same Lord, you know, you may like this kind of thing, I may like that kind of thing, so we don't have that much other stuff to share, but we still have that fundamental thing that we share, the joy of Christ. And that will allow me to a degree, enjoy what you enjoy that I don't. And maybe you will enjoy some of the things I enjoy that you don't. You know, it's kind of a vicarious joy, because we have a shared fellowship, a mutual love as brothers. So, you know, and, you know, in this case, this man is, again, from Donbass. He said he was born and raised there. That's his home. And so in one sense, he's Ukrainian. In another sense, he's Russian culturally. And maybe technically Russian here in a little while. But whether Russian, Ukrainian, it doesn't matter. It seems like he's my brother. And when I sent that postcard to George Sayor, there's a question. Because of the video I did yesterday and the words I used in the card, did I reprove a scoffer or did I reprove a wise man? Again, when you go to, just happen to have a stack of these. When you go to kozlowski.org/hebeggedus, the video there directly addresses George Sayor, because what he said in his sermon that I dissected, I will contend, I will rashly contend with anyone, he misinterpreted scripture. Well, actually, he read it and then ignored it and drew conclusions from other sources that I will contend are wrong. And the best way to make sure you stand your ground is avoid the challenge, right? Or anyway, I want my kids to be able to rationally engage somebody. I want my kids to speak like this man in the Donbass. To be able to say, I believe that our culture, our nation is first and foremost Christianity. Not Ukrainian, not Russian, not American. Well, you know, Christianity and so forth, or being a follower, you know. And we believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ. Not a God, not a quaint fellow, not our club. We believe in Jesus Christ. You didn't see any fluff in this guy. I was really impressed. And I think that we'll reach the end. And I don't think he was talking about victory over Ukraine. I think he's talking about enduring to the end, as Christ talked about. My lady, for my wife, my kids, it is my hope that you endure to the end, as Christ talked about. Because again, I'm biased. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, that I still love and adore, I still love you, and I still want you back.